pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Okay, good. All right, cool. Good. Before we went on the air, we always, I got in a little bit late in what we call the huddle here this morning. If you're watching the show, you have the capability. Let me make this point again, because I get emails all the time. I say, Coach, somebody said to me yesterday, Coach, I can't hardly stand to watch your program anymore because it now has commercials on it. It has commercials. And I thought, commercials? I don't do commercials. Then it hit me. Oh, YouTube's putting commercials into it. YouTube's putting commercials into our show now. And so if you're watching on YouTube, you're seeing commercials. Well, how about this? You don't want to watch the commercials? Go to CoachDaveLive.com. It's posted at CoachDaveLive.com. No commercials. Commercial free. You can stop. You can start it. You can do whatever you want to. And then somebody... I heard from Kevin the other day, says, Coach, I'm out on the road a lot, and YouTube uses up so much data. Man, is there someplace else? Hey, folks, you can listen to our show, just the audio of it, online as well at CoachDaveLive.com. There's the audio. Excuse me. You can listen to it there. So I don't like the commercials either, but they are what they are. And so I apologize. Again, where can you find that? CoachDaveLive.com. Now, if you go to our website, Mike, pull them up there real quick. So maybe I ought to do this every once in a while to help people understand a little bit how this whole game works. I don't know where you're watching. As you're looking at this right now, at 7:02 on Thursday morning, some of you are watching on Facebook. Some are watching on YouTube. Some of you are watching it later on YouTube. Some of you are watching it on, what's that one called, Periscope? Some of you are listening to it. I mean, there's a lot of different places that this program is available, all right? If you just want to hear the audio of it, then go to our website. If you go right there to our website right now, maybe Mike can help because I never listened to it. You can listen to it on your phone, all right? The archives, scroll down a little bit, Mike, if you can. The archives are always posted at Coach Dave Live. Always watch commercial free or find audios. All right. It's always right there, friends. Always right there. So, I got a couple more good videos that we're going to put up there, by the way. So know that. And if you would like to be part of the show, do you see, I'm sorry, Mike, click back there again where it says join the queue. If you want to talk, you want to be one of the guys. You want to be the star of the show like Larry Richardson thinks he is. Just kidding, Larry. If you want to be the star of the show and you want your 2 cents worth, all you have to do is click on join the queue. That's all you got to do. Now, it's live only. You click on join the queue, and it takes you to this page, and then it says ask to join, and you're in the queue. And then you can ask questions. You can dialogue. You can talk back and forth. All right. That's how this whole thing works. So I apologize if I hadn't made that more clear to all of you. Here's what we would love for you to do. Watch the show at CoachDaveLive.com. That's what we would like you to do. We don't want to give any more attention to Facebook or YouTube or Stitcher or whatever. It's right here. It's always right here. The audio is always right here. Okay. CoachDaveLive.com. Cool. I probably needed to. Also, don't forget the videos. See Coach's video picks. I don't put a new video up there every day, but I'm constantly putting stuff up there that I think is germane to what it is that we talk about. Always doing it. If you didn't watch we watched it yesterday, the truth about hydroxychloroquine, I got it all there. We try to capture everything. It's important before it's pulled down. And I appreciate all of you out there who continue to send me videos. I can't watch them all, but this would really help me. If you send me a video that you want me to watch, it would do me really a lot of good if you said, hey, coach, watch specifically beginning at the 3-minute and 10-second mark. It just frees me up a little bit. I don't have to watch all the beginning and all that stuff. Yeah, Jack.
That is so important. I appreciate so much you putting those videos on the coach's picks there, because we can then pound them back up. They take them down, we pound them back up. They take them down, we pound them back up. We can beat them with this game.
We can. And so that's very, very important, Jack. When you see a good one like Dr. Stella, right? You know, you can't find this video anywhere. I don't think he can find it. And we got Jared to capture it. It's permanently on our website now. So if you want to share this video with somebody else, you got to go to our website and get a copy of it from our website and share it. It's not on YouTube. It's not there anymore. It's not on Facebook anymore. The censoring is, they've doubled down on all the censoring, okay? So, again, I appreciate your videos. You send me a video, but coach me a little bit and say, begin watching that. Like Brian just sent me something this morning. Hey, Brian, I want you to know that as soon as you sent this audio to me today, the first thing I did, listen to me, the first thing I always do is check how long it is, always. Because I think, can I watch this in 2 minutes or do I have to give an hour and 15 minutes to it?
Yes, sir.
Which, right? So I looked at it today, and it's, Brian says, started at 18 seconds. So I hit it, and I turn around, and I looked. It's an hour and 12-minute video. And then Brian says, no, about 5 minutes. I assume that means it only takes 5 minutes, Brian. Is that what it means? See, it makes it just – folks, I get a lot of these. I get a lot of these. And, yep. I appreciate the information you're seeing me. You have to help make my job easier, all right? That's all I'm saying.
Yep, and first 5 minutes.
First 5 minutes. Thanks, Brian. Now I can do that now. And see if it's one that I have to, it's an hour and 15 minutes. Well, tell me that. So I know I can set it. Now I don't listen. If it's an hour and 15 minutes, I put it on double speed. I listen fast. I speed them up. So I appreciate all of it because I get a lot of information from you folks, a lot of information. Chuck sends me a whole list of stuff every morning, a whole list. And it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. You know, I was, having a discussion before we went on the air here today. It's talking about scoreboards. I had a piece of candy in my mouth, sorry. Scoreboard. Somebody asked me one time, Coach, what do you miss most about coaching? And I said, scoreboard. After I thought about it a while, I missed the scoreboard. And they thought that was kind of funny. They said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, at any given time, when I was coaching at any given time, I knew where I stood. All I had to do was look at the scoreboard. It told me whether we were ahead or behind. It told me how much time we had left. And it gave me an urgency in my life that I had a very short period of time to complete this task that was before me. And at the end of the game, when that clock went to zero, I knew whether we'd won or lost. I knew exactly where I stood. But I also knew this, that there was another game next week. And if we won, that was good to celebrate. But if we lost, we got to get ready because there's another game next week. That's life, really, folks. That's life. And if we begin to structure our lives a little bit like that and understand that we can only run with patience the race that is set before us this day, fill this day, with everything that you can do, then tomorrow ultimately is going to take care of itself. But something else popped into my head as we were just getting ready to go live. Bear with this stream of consciousness. I think what I'm about to share here is important. I thought of Bill DeLauder. I said, huh? Jeff Klein knows who Bill DeLauder was. And maybe some other guys know who Bill DeLauder was. Bill DeLauder was a disabled Vietnam vet. And when I first started about 10, 15 years ago, began to start going to the streets, Bill and Marilyn DeLauder always went with us. Bill's in a wheelchair, but he always wanted to go. And I'll never forget the story that Bill told me about his experience in Vietnam. He said, in order to cope with everything they said. He said you would take a hill one day, you'd see your buddies die trying to take this hill, and then you guys, the Americans would take the hill, and then the next day they would desert the hill. And Bill would watch his buddies get killed and maimed, and they'd get up the top of the hill, and they claimed it, and then next day they would be ordered off of it. And the guys would look around at each other and say, what the heck was that all about? What was that all about? He said they came up with a saying, that maybe those of you guys who are vets would understand this better than me. He said those guys in his platoon came up with a saying, and that saying was this: don't mean nothing. That was this saying: don't mean nothing. When people would begin to get around after they'd been in a firefight or whatever it was, and they couldn't understand the orders they were getting from on top, Bill said they would just kind of look at each other and say, that don't mean nothing. In other words, don't worry about it. New day tomorrow. We'll get some stupid orders again tomorrow. Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. Your buddy getting his face blown off, that don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. He said that became the mantra of his time in Vietnam. Don't mean nothing. And sadly, folks, that's becoming the mantra of the American church. Don't mean nothing. We are, I don't want to be a broken record. We're losing our nation. And you know what the attitude of the most people are? Most pastors, most churches? Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. But it does. It does. It does mean something. It means something to our posterity, to those who came behind us. It means something to us.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Can I give a quick Bill DeLauder story? Katrina. I remember we went down to Katrina. He went with us. And the whole first day out there, remember how everything, there's just sticks and crap everywhere.
Okay. Yep.
We moved that camp three times. I mean, it was horrible what they did to us down there. Bill was getting so wore out with sitting in that wheelchair, trying to get around. He couldn't wheel himself. And what did he always do? He didn't want anybody to help him.
Yep.
You just didn't mess with Bill. He would struggle and get mad. I mean, he'd get angry. So all day I watched him. He struggled. The next morning we woke up, and that man did not have a tent or nothing. Pastor Bill and I slept under a semi-trailer on the blacktop with our sleeping bags. We woke up, looked over in the morning. Here's Bill laying in the grass. And the dew was so heavy down there, he was soaked. I mean, he was soaking wet. And he gets up angry. He wakes up angry, frustrated. So about lunchtime, he's still wheeling around in that chair trying to go. And he was dropping some foul language. He was mad. So whenever I said, Bill, and Pastor Bill just preached this sermon two weeks before, about serving. I walked over to Bill. I said, Bill, let me get your lunch. What do you want on your plate? We were all getting food, and he was just mad. He wouldn't do it. I said, Bill, do you remember the sermon you just heard a couple weeks ago? I looked at him, and I said, do not rob me of this blessing. And buddy, his head dropped and he got a little teary-eyed. He said, okay, brother. I got him his plate of food, brought it over to him and put a smile on his face. And the rest of the week went so much better for Bill, because then he let people start serving him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he was just, he's a character, wasn't he?
He was. Don't mean nothing, Jeff. It don't mean nothing. And folks, when you reach the point in your life where things don't mean nothing, you might as well be dead. Might as well be dead. I've been so troubled by what I see. I'm going to share some of that stuff with you here this morning. And it's easy. If you're worth anything, folks, if you're worth anything, you have to be troubled. You can't take the attitude, don't mean nothing. You can't take the attitude, that doesn't affect me. We cannot take that attitude. Martin Luther King Jr. said, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. Hey, I got the answer, Larry. Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing, but it does. It does mean something. Hey, tomorrow, don't miss tomorrow's show. Real quickly, Mike Blake, Alicia Healy, John Tuttle, And hopefully Attorney Tom Condit are going to be on with us. Because I want you guys to know what's going on at the Planned Parenthood here in Columbus, Ohio, and the tyrannical police force and what they're trying to do to us. And Alicia was arrested. Mike Blake was cited and charged for sound ordinance. Johnny Tuttle was cited for... Johnny, if you're listening right now, you got to give me a call. You got to get in contact with me because I want you to be part of the show tomorrow. You can do it by phone. You say, Coach, how do I get a hold of you? That's a good question, isn't it? I don't give my cell phone number out to the whole world here. I'm trying to get a hold of you, John. So get a hold of, however, work your network to get a hold of me. I want you to be part of the show tomorrow. And Tom Condit is, John Tuttle, he's in charge for, he's being charged with what? Terrorist threats or something unbelievable, stupid. And Tom Condit's the attorney that we have that's defending these folks. And I think it's important that you understand. And one of the things I haven't talked a whole lot about, but is really, really bubbling up inside of me, is I'm trying to build a legal defense fund here at Coach Dave Live. We're Christians. Well, we're going to fight back. Legally, we're going to fight back. And no, it's not going to be like prepaid legal. But we need attorneys. We are on the front of the cultural war. And my friends, it's being won and lost in the courtroom. And unfortunately, the courts have priced most of us out. Most of us, when we get charged, when Alicia Healy got charged, unjustly arrested, her options were admit her guilt, even though she had none, compromise, or get an attorney and fight. Well, we all want to get an attorney and fight, except that costs money, doesn't it? That goes back to what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago when I said there is no redress of grievances. Courts should be free. Attorneys should be free. It's a First Amendment, the right to petition your government for a redress of grievances. When you get hauled into court, you shouldn't have to pay a lawyer. You say, well, Coach, they provide one for you. No, that's a wicked, wicked system. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today here as well. So don't miss that. Hey, my son's getting married this wedding. Our son's getting married this wedding, this weekend. Yep, that finally happened. I tell some jokes about that. But the Dobbenmeyer family is going to be tied up in wedding activities Friday, Saturday, and it's going to be a glorious time around here. So so that's all good. I got to come back. Let me look down here. Anybody want to say anything? Anybody got anything on the heart before I move on to my next little thing I want to talk about here? I mean, I've taken up, golly, 18 minutes already. I'm looking down there. Still looking for, he's still not here. I want to talk to Jeff now, and he's still not in here. So we're not going to talk about Jeff now today until he gets up in the morning where we can talk to him. Now, he's out in Fallon, Nevada, and getting worn out, probably needs his rest. So, Jeff, you're hearing me if you're listening to this later. Maybe we want to get you in here and talk about what you've done. Okay. Here's I'm pausing a second. The Bible tells us this, that when lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And here's what's troubling me. I hope it's troubling you as well. What do we do when our government's lawless? So we mean, I got three things I'm going to show you. Three things I'm going to show you. Blew me away. Lord, help me figure out how to do this, Lord. You guys remember Michael Brown? Anybody remember the name Michael Brown? Where does the name Michael Brown come from? And before you answer the question, do you know the lie that was birthed with Michael Brown?
Hands up, don't shoot.
Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. Michael Brown was in Missouri, right? What was the name of that little town in Missouri?
Ferguson.
Hands up. Say it again, Larry.
Ferguson.
Ferguson, Missouri. Hands up, don't shoot. Meaning what? Michael Brown put his hand straight up in the air and says, please don't shoot me, officer. I'm just a wonderful law-abiding citizen here. And that mean officer, because the officer was a racist white guy, that mean officer took his gun and shot Michael, even though he's had his hands up saying, hands up, don't shoot. There's only one problem. Total, complete lie. Never happened. Hey, Mike, click on Michael Brown. Never happened, friend. I'm taking you somewhere today. I'm taking you, trying to wake it. I don't know if I have a solution to it. The wickedness, the absolute total wickedness of our American judicial system, legal system, justice system, whatever you want to call it. This is from, this is amazing because I was talking, this came, jumped on me today and I wanted to talk about it. And I went back, did some research. This article is from July 30th, 2020. This is from 5 days ago. Just 5 days ago, this article came out. No charges for officer who shot Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, after a follow-up probe. Folks, this was this week. This week, they went back and studied what happened to Michael Brown in 2014. They reopened the case. They restudied it again. And what did they find when they the story was a total and complete fabrication. Total, complete fabrication. Now, wait a minute. Did anybody in positions of authority know it was a total and complete fabrication? Huh? Are there any cops in here? Did Chad get up this morning? Would anybody? Hey, Chad, is he in here? He's probably sleeping in. He's getting old.
I'm here, baby.
Okay, Chad. Hey, Chad, how long would it take internal affairs to realize that this whole thing was fake? How long would that take, Chad? He had a body cam on him, didn't he?
Yeah,
Two days, right? 2 days, they would be able to stand up and say, that is not the story. Here is the story. Here's what happened. And Chad, what happened after Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson, Missouri? What happened? Does anybody remember? Anybody remember what happened?
Yeah, right.
Black Lives Matter got started.
It did. And Ferguson burned and burned and burned. And did you know that just recently, excuse me, in Portland, Oregon, what signs are they holding, you suppose? What signs are they holding in Portland, Oregon today? You got it. Hands up, don't shoot. We're talking about media manipulation with, my friends, the cooperation of government officials. Hey, Mike, let's go back. I'm building the story here. Stay with me. Mike, go to the Washington Post article. Right below that one. Go to the one right below. It says Washington Post. This is another one I came across regarding Michael Brown, the officer who shot him. Hands up, don't shoot. This says, hands up, don't shoot was built on a lie. Now, at what point, if I'm running the police department in Ferguson, Missouri, if I'm attorney general of the state of Missouri, at some point, don't I come out full-throated, double-barreled, saying, this is a lie. Yes or no? Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. Did that happen? Hands up, don't shoot was built on a lie. Now, I'm not going to read down through this thing. I'm building a case here. You all with me? There you are. So you could say, Coach, what the heck are you talking about that for? Well, I'm talking about that because, Mike, click on Sally Yates. Click on Sally Yates. Sally Yates was the acting attorney general of the United States when the whole thing with trying to impeach or trying to run Donald Trump out of office and the FISA reports and all that stuff. Sally Yates was the attorney general. She was the attorney general. Now, stay with me. I'm talking about at what point does the church begin to rise up and say no to the government? Hey, boys and girls, if you think that the government, this wicked, evil government, is going to let us go quietly into the night, oh boy, have you got another one coming? You got another one coming. So, Mike, just go down there. This is Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley, rips into Sally Yates. We're just going to, folks, just stay with me. I'm just going to show you just a few minutes of it. And that she was in charge and she let this whole thing going. Right there, Mike. Just go ahead and just play a couple minutes so we get a feel for this. Listen to her answers.
And you didn't have any qualms about them. Do you recall what the FISA court said about these applications?
Yes, Senator. And when I was speaking with the Inspector General, I was referring to the applications based on the assumption that all of the information was accurate. What was learned later and what the FISA court was responding to later is that there were errors and omissions.
Well, the errors and omissions were there at the time that you signed off on them, were they not? And you just testified that you read them closely. So they were there when you signed off on them, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, let me remind you what the FISA court said. I'll just read this into the record. The FBI's handling of the Carter Page applications, which you approved and you now say you read, was antithetical to the heightened duty of candor owed to the court. The frequency with which representations made by FBI personnel turned out to be unsupported or contradicted by information in their possession and with which they withheld information detrimental to their case calls into question whether information contained in other FBI applications is reliable, end quote. Are you still of the view that these applications were not a close call at all and you would do the same thing now? I mean, these were appropriate steps, I think, was your testimony to the IG. You stand by that?
Yes, Senator. I think if you properly put my testimony in context when I spoke with the Inspector General, I was referring to the decision that I made at the time based on the factual information that was presented to me and known to
So you were a passive party in this. I mean, you did testify now in contrast to what you testified to the IG earlier, but you're telling us now today you did read the applications, but you were also duped by the FBI, and so it's for that reason you signed off on misleading applications that a FISA court said were so bad and so misleading they call into question all of the submissions by the FBI. So you're a passive party. Is that your testimony today?
No, sir. Senator, I was not passive at all.
Then what did you do to actually exert some sort of control and exercise responsibility? And let me just ask you this. What responsibility do you bear for the deliberate and systematic misleading of a secret federal court?
As the Deputy Attorney General and the number two person at the Justice Department, I was responsible for the actions of every single employee.
She was responsible for all of it, folks. She was responsible for all of it. She knew that the FISA thing was a crock. She knew it. She signed off on it. The people underneath her went wild and crazy doing whatever they wanted to. She signed off on it. And is there any accountability? Still trust the FBI? Still think you're going to get a fair shake? Hey, listen. Hey. Don't mean nothing. Hey, Larry. Don't mean nothing.
Hey, Coach. You know, I don't know how many people have read my testimony on Facebook notes, but when I was in jail all those months waiting for what the state was going to do, they never even offered to get me an attorney. They knew I was dirt poor, you know, couldn't. And I told the Lord, I didn't talk to an attorney because I never even sent one or offered to send one. But I told the Lord, I says, God, I says, I don't want a public defender unless you have first prepared his mind and his heart to receive truth and to handle it accordingly. And a public defender was never mentioned anywhere in the entire process of all those months, up all the way to the day that they dropped the charges. That, you know, the system, you
don't mean,
you say
don't
the
mean
system
nothing, Larry.
Is bad. The system is worse than bad. The system
don't
is
mean nothing.
Evil.
Don't mean nothing, Larry. Don't mean love. See, we're operating, stay with me. We're operating on two sets of principles, and I'm heading there. I'm sorry if I'm laboring. This is, folks, to me, this is so critical and so deep inside of me. I don't know what to do. Stay with me. So, Mike, pull up George Floyd. So we got hands up, don't shoot. I can give you 50 examples, okay? Hand up, hands up, don't shoot. A blatant lie that cost the American, how much did it cost us financially, let alone in race relations? And Obama said that if he had a son, he'd look like Michael Brown. You remember that? Yeah, do you remember that? That whole story was fake. The entire story was fake. Entire story. And people in authority knew it was fake and still let that happen to that officer. Still let that happen to that officer. And what went on with Michael Flynn and President Trump and Russian collusion, they all knew it was fake and they still let it happen. Where's our redress of grievances? What do we do? And what do we as Christians, what is our position when this kind of crap's going on? Oh, I know. Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. No, not till it's your ass in the sling. Pardon Coach, my French.
Coach, the guilty must pay.
George Floyd, pull him up there. He's got him up there. Mike, go to this video. Started at the 4-minute mark. I don't know how many of you guys have seen this. Hey, folks, are you ready for me? This whole George Floyd thing is a fraud. It's a fraud. All of it, a fraud. Every bit of it, a fraud. And they know it. And they knew it. Now, this video, you could watch the whole thing. It shows the immediate arrest. Remember George Floyd? What did George Floyd say? I can't breathe. Why could he couldn't breathe? Why? Oh, because obviously that cop was strangling him, right? Oh, yeah, really? Really? Hey, Chad, how long do you think it took for the cop's superiors to view this dash cam? How long would it have taken for him, Chad, for internal affairs to take a look at this video?
2 days.
At the most, 2 days.
That's right.
So after 2 days, they knew that the story going around the world about George Floyd, they knew it was fake. Right, Chad? In 2 days?
That's right. And see, the thing is, too, that officer, that Darryl in the Brown case, you know, all the police chiefs around there knew it. They had a big congregation of these police chiefs across the nation. They showed the footage of it. Every one of them knew it. But none of them would hire the guy. They wouldn't hire the guy. See, they ruined him. Mm-hmm. They ruined him. Hey, Chad. Absolutely ruined him.
Chad, don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing, Chad. So starting at the 4-minute mark, they've arrested George Floyd, and they're trying to get him into the police car. Okay? The police car. Let's just watch about 3 or 4 minutes of this.
Let's go.
Hey, man.
Let's go.
Freeze it a minute, Mike. Folks, I'm freezing this because I want you to listen now to how many times George Floyd's going to say, I'm claustrophobic, I can't breathe. Just listen, right? Because we've been led to believe he couldn't breathe on the ground because the cop was strangling him. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, can I add something while we're doing that?
Yes.
Why don't you consider the fact that a dope fiend feels free to run around driving cars?
Yeah. Go ahead. He's clearly on drugs. This guy's clearly on dope. Go ahead.
I hear you, but you're going to face the door right now. Listen up. Stop.
I'll do anything. Anything y'all tell me to do, man. I'm not a resistor, man. I'm not. You can ask him. He know me, you know. God, man, I'm going to do nothing like that, y'all. Why is it going on like this? Look at my wrist, officer. I'm not that kind of guy.
Stop.
I'm not that kind of guy.
Stop.
You please. I'm not that kind of guy, Mr. Officer. Please.
Please away.
Please, man. Don't leave me by myself, man. Please. I'm just claustrophobic. That's it.
Oh, you're still going
claustrophobic.
Anything sharp on you?
I won't do nothing to hurt y'all, Mr. Officer. No, sir. Why? Nothing. Why y'all doing me like that, Mr. Officer? Please, crack it through me for me and stuff, man. I am claustrophobic for real, Mr. Officer.
You got him?
You please back it for me, please.
Yes, I'm back. Stay with me,
man.
I will.
Please stay with me, man. Thank you.
Please stay with me, man.
I didn't know I was going to happen, man.
Was he that quiet and crying when he had a gun to a pregnant woman's belly while she was being raped?
I'm listening, and I understand that.
Okay, Mike, you can cut it off. He's going to continue to say, man, I can't breathe. I'm claustrophobic, man. I can't breathe. And what is the story that, Chad, has Internal Affairs seen this yet? Have they seen this video yet? And they've allowed four officers' lives to be totally and completely destroyed on what they know is fake.
We have to have a race war, Coach. We have to have a race war. We have to be distracted from reality.
Yeah, wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. That cop worked with that guy. So they may have been all in on this together.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't even matter to me. What matters to me is they know the truth and didn't tell us. Why didn't they tell us? Why didn't they show us the entire video so we would understand what precipitated or led to this point where they have to restrain this guy? Why don't they tell us? Why won't they today tell us?
Coach, because it's all a show. We're the contestants and we're the ones who die.
Okay, so hang on, Vinny. Hey, folks, I've given you three examples of by our government.
Well, no, Coach. The news got out ahead of this and put the narrative out and drove it and shoved it down our throat that when this truth comes out, it doesn't matter anymore. People are saying that was still wicked, and for you to believe them, police. Now they're saying if you're watching them police cam videos and you're watching that, you're shame on you. Do you think that he was still not murdered? Because they have driven home a lie,
right,
the news media, to where people, doesn't matter what happened, they still believe what the news media says to be truth.
Hey, Mike. Right, Dale. Where's Keith Ellison, the state attorney general? Doesn't he have an obligation to stand up and say, hey, folks, we've watched this video and we were wrong. We were wrong. We don't believe that officers were wrong in this situation.
Coach, that's why they enacted the non-hanging legislation. That's why they enacted the anti-hanging legislation, because you should be hanging right now. I'm sorry I'm saying it on your show, but listen, he lied. A whole bunch of people are dead and hurt because of this.
Who lied?
Keith Ellison, the entire government.
No, government lied. Government. I'm speaking to the church today. Government is lying, church. Government is lying. And do we have a fidelity? Do we have a loyalty to support lying, devil-driven government? Go ahead, Chad.
Well, how many press conferences did that chief of police from Minneapolis give? And at no time did he dispute the rhetoric that the mainstream media was pushing.
He'd seen the video, hadn't he, Chad?
Did it go on? Who's controlling him? Who's controlling the city council? Who's controlling the mayor? Who's controlling the governor? Who's doing it? Who's making these people lean?
Don't mean nothing, Chad.
Watch this, Chad. I think you're absolutely onto something. Watch this, because those guys knew that if the media then turned the cameras on them, that they might lose their job. You don't put a mask on, you might lose your job. You won't go shop. They are driving a freaking narrative on us.
Okay, so I got a question. This is a dangerous. Go ahead, Brian. This is a dangerous question to ask, but I'm going to ask it. Go ahead.
You know, it goes higher than this incident here. Who's controlling John Roberts, the very highest judicial position in the United States of America, is under the same type and kind of influence.
Okay, so let me ask you again. I'm slowly trying to get somewhere. I'm really frustrated. Because this is what you just don't talk about this. What role does the church play in holding accountable a wicked government? Do we play a role? Is our loyalty is our loyalty required by the Bible to a wicked government?
Our loyalty to God, Coach.
Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The Lord hates injustice. The Lord hates it. The Lord hates injustice. Hey, church, the Lord hates injustice. Hey, church, the Lord hates the slaughter of unborn children. By the way, legalized by a devilish government. You guys with me?
Wicked government.
The God, the Lord, are you listening to me? The Lord hates. The Lord hates sodomy. He hates it. Legalized by an unrighteous, ungodly government. And yet Christians are still told that there's some boys that came before us who had the same reaction against the King of England. You remember that, don't you? You do remember that, don't you? Everybody's saying, hey, obey the king, obey the king. Yeah, but he's given an unrighteous edict. Yeah, but obey the king. He's the king. Obey the king. Obey the king. Obey the king. Don't mean nothing.
We did not obey.
Well, don't Coach, I had a post pulled yesterday. Not so much my post, but my comment. And it was about that mayor out in Los Angeles that says, if people do not adhere to the mask wearing, we're going to come to their homes and shut off their water and shut off their electricity.
That don't mean nothing, Dale. Don't mean nothing.
You know what my reply was to that? I said, shoot them. Well, you don't think that didn't get me into it? I'm serious. Brother, you come onto my property to try to shut off my utilities on my property, it's going down.
Okay, stay with me. Listen, I want to wrap this up here. Stay with me. I'm heading someplace today. Mike, pull up who really controls the church. It's my commentary. By the way, wasn't posted at newswithyous.com today. I don't know what happened there.
I wonder what's going to happen with John MacArthur. He's about to be threatened with arrest and $1,000 daily fine.
And he deserves it. He deserves it because he's been telling us for how long to obey this government.
Yep.
Right? He's been singing that song. So who really controls the church? Please stay with me. Bear with me. I really struggled writing this last night, trying to make a point. Bear with me, okay? This is not your grandpa's. Who really controls the church? This is not your grandpa's America, and the idea of an all-caring, benevolent partnership between the church and the state no longer exists. Somebody can say amen, but you don't have to. With the appearance of the latest national crisis, it's becoming painfully obvious to anyone with a functioning brain that the church-government relationship is irrevocably broken. Anybody disagree with that? Huh? It's irrevocably broken. What happens when the marriage reaches irreconcilable differences? What happens when the government violates the standards of the church? The American church has been in an abusive relationship with the government since the 60s. When the Supreme Court handed down the ungodly Everson decision in 1947, the first cracks in the longstanding marriage between Christ and the government was exposed. Everson's opinion was the first time in American history that the idea of separation between God and government had ever been litigated, and it created an adulterous relationship between the two. Marriage is a partnership, and it's difficult for any relationship to succeed if there's not agreement between the two parties. Although marriage is a union, in a Christian society, the husband has always been considered the head of the marriage. In any relationship, there has to be someone ultimately in charge when the tough, controversial decisions have to be made. Stay with me. The 1947 Everson ruling was the first step in destruction of the church-government marriage. The American church has agreed to an adulterous relationship with the government ever since. And just as no man can serve two masters, neither can we serve two masters. The American church can no longer serve God and the government. Hey, folks, this is critical. This is true. The Everson opinion declared that the legal marriage of the church and state was over. The increased secularization of the federal government has made church-state relationship untenable. The government divorced the church. The government divorced the church, yet refused to grant the church autonomy free of government intrusion. Let the record show that it was the government who filed for the divorce. But the church, like a loyal spouse, has been reluctant to dissolve the marriage, hoping for reconciliation. The church remained loyal to their vows and continued to obey the machination of government in the hopes that by electing men of character, the marriage could be somehow restored. While the church pined for a reunification of the broken marriage, the government strove for a civil union, one in which the government maintained its independence free from the nasty control of the nagging spouse, the church. In reality, the church can never be separated from government. Individuals make up the church and individuals make up the government, and Christians are involved in both. It's impossible for them to be separated. The church is not a building, an organization, not a corporation. The church is a body consisting of unique individuals under the headship of Jesus Christ. The government was created by the church. I'm going to stop right there. The government was created by the church. The church was not created by the government. Do you guys get this? Do you understand this? The church created the government. Webster defines divorce as to separate as a married woman from the bed and board of her husband. The government officially divorced the church in 1947, but has maintained the benefits of marriage. Christians today are still forced to pay alimony to its ex-spouse without any say in how that money is spent. Church still has not broken free from the duty to bed and board the government. Why is the church forced to pay for abortions, the advancement of homosexual agenda, and the promotion of atheistic or secular beliefs? Where does the government get the authority to take money from the church and spend it on wicked stuff? You say, well, Coach, the church is tax exempt. No, dude, you're the church. Let me ask you again. Wait a minute. The government of the United States divorced the American church, yet the body of Christ is still forced to pay alimony in support of the government's rebellious behavior. The government has all of the characteristics of an abusive ex-spouse and still thinks he has control of the credit card. Let me ask you again. Who controls the church? The government-church separation is the most one-sided divorce in the history of the world. The government demands the right to make all of the rules, or Christians are the ones paying the bills. The free exercise clause of the First Amendment is completely ignored. Hey, listen, folks. If I have to pay for abortions, it violates the free exercise of my faith. You understand that? You understand that? If you are coerced and forced to pay tax dollars to the government for the advancement of the sodomite agenda, that's a violation of the free exercise of your faith. This isn't hard. It's not hard, but see what it is. We have to go to government lawyers and government judges. They call that hometown referee. Stay with me. I'm pissed this morning. I'm sorry. The free extra clause in the First Amendment is completely ignored, and look at all the government controls placed on the church in recent pandemic, and there can be no question as to who is calling the shots. Let me ask you a question. Is the church in charge of the government, or is the government in charge of the church? That's a question you better ask yourself. The federal government has become the enemy of the church. Any clear-thinking American knows that to be true. If there's a separation between the church and the government, why does the body of Christ pay to support the government without any say as to how the government operates? Ministries are required to keep careful records of the financial transactions of the body of Christ, while the government provides no such accounting to the church. Why does Pastor Salt Ministries have to tell the government how we spend our money? What do I have to do that if there's a separation between the church and the state? Wake up! Wake up! There's a true separation between the church and the state. Why is it any business of the government how the body of Christ operates? Who's the body of Christ? No, it's not a church. I'm the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. Individuals are the body of the Christ. What business is it of the government? Who put the government in charge of the church? That's all I want to know. Why is the created entity, the government, holding any sway over the operation of the creator, the church? Why do we give to Caesar what belongs to God? Church created Caesar. Why does the church answer to Caesar? What is it the church possesses that belongs to Caesar? What should the church render unto Caesar? Nothing. Caesar is simply an abusive ex-spouse. Dangerous stuff we're talking about here. Folks, Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the head of the government. The government answers to Christ. Christ's body does not answer to the government. This is so simple. That's how things were when the nation was founded. Today, through taxation, the body of Christ is forced to fund every evil work of the lawless government. Doesn't it seem backwards to you? Shouldn't the government be funding the church? I mean, I don't want that, but I mean, isn't that what it should be? Why are we paying the government? We were a marriage, they divorced us, and we continue to pay them. Board and bed is what the Webster called it. Doesn't this seem backwards to you? How can the government force Christians to fund hell's agenda if there's a separation? The church is above a government. The church is above the government. Hey, the church is above the government.
Amen, Coach.
Who really controls the body of Christ? That's it in a nutshell, boys and girls. There's the issue in a nutshell. The church has totally given all authority to the government. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. The authority is in the church, not in the government.
Hey, Coach, you know, it's recognized that if a man overpowers by physical force, mental force, or any kind of force, or gosh, I don't know what other word to use, a woman to have sex with him, is called rape. You know, the church has been being raped with their own permission for decades.
Larry, they're not.
You can't rape the willing.
That's right. They're willing. We're willingly being raped, Larry. We're willingly. We're giving it out. The right. Church has yielded all. Now, Mike, real quickly, I sent you another one. Mayflower Compact. Go to the Mayflower Compact. Go ahead, Chad. Go ahead.
That would mean that the Word of God calls it a whore.
That's right. Amen. That's right. That's right. We're in an adulterous relationship. If you are supporting the government in issues of abortion, homosexual marriage, I could run off a litany of them. A litany of them, boys and girls, you're in a divorce. You are in an adulterous relationship. You're not serving the Lord. You're serving the government.
Sorry, dude. I'd say too, the church is almost a whore because it gets kickbacks. It receives funding. It receives grants. It receives tax breaks and allows the government to run all over them.
Can we open our church, please? Mr. Government, can we open our church, please? You tell me who's in control.
Right. Chad, you're being too kind. It is a whore. Okay, I'll say it. You can blame it on me.
So the Mayflower Compact, Mike. Hey, listen, for those of you out there who want to argue with me, and I know I'll get the emails, who created the government? Why, the Mayflower Compact was the first governing document of the Plymouth Colony. It was written by the separatists, also known as the Saints, fleeing from religious persecution by King James of Great Britain. They traveled aboard the Mayflower in 1620 along with adventurous tradesmen and servants, most of whom were referred to as stranger. The Mayflower Compact was signed aboard the ship on November 11th, 1620 by most adult men, but not by most crew and adult male servants. The pilgrims used the Julian calendar, also known as the old style dates, which at that time was 10 days behind the Gregorian calendar. Signing the covenant were 41 of the ship's 101 passengers, while the Mayflower Compact was anchored in what is now Providence Harbors with the hook at the northern tip of Cape Cod. Folks, this is what they call organic law. This is where the American government began and who formed it. Who formed the American government, friends? The church. Amen. The church formed the Mayflower Compact, the first governmental document in the New World. The government did not form the church. The church formed the government. Oh, I'm feeling this so deeply. I can't get away from it.
You understand? It's a bait and switch, everybody. It's a bait and switch.
Scroll down a minute, Mike. Bait and switch. Scroll down a little bit lower. Have you ever read it? You guys all need to read this about how this whole thing happened. And how does the Mayflower Compact open? Go ahead, Mike. See if you can find it. Remember, the first governmental document. It's worth reading. You need to read all this. Said, you know what's going on. What does it say? It says this. No, keep going. It's the sign of 11th day of November in 1620. And how does it begin? In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King Jesus, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And by virtue hereto, do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and officers. From time to time it shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, which unto we promise all day submission and obedience. The first governmental document formed in the New World was formed by the church for the advancement of the gospel. And ask yourself this, who is in control of America today, the church or the government?
Yeah, if you go to the town where the Mayflowers was, you know, landed, there is a monument in that town called the Monument to Our Forefathers, and you will see on that monument all the fundamentals of what our government was based on, which were Christian. There's a movie called Monumental, narrated by Kirk Cameron. It's worth seeing.
But listen, folks, listen. We just got to get it through our thick skulls. God is above the government.
Right. The creation cannot be greater.
Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for us to understand that we as Christians
are greater than the Creator?
If we Christians are forced to support things that violate our conscience, it violates what? The free exercise of our faith.
Amen, Coach.
It's simple. Now, here's the problem. The government runs the courts. Government has all the lawyers. Government has all the legal system. Government ignores. See, it's abusive ex-spouse. What it is?
It's a trick, though.
Our government is rogue. I gave you three examples of blatant lies that our government not only let go forward but purposely promoted. And what's our obligation in the church? John MacArthur, to support this crap. We got 3 minutes left. I'm sorry, I've been all over the place, but it awakens me at night. It awakens me at night that if we do not right this ship, my grandchildren are going to live in tyranny if they live at all. If we don't right this ship,
Coach, we have an obligation to right this ship. We have an obligation. We have a duty to right this ship, and so we shall. And so we shall. So understand that, evil bastards. It's time for you to go.
Well, we're big talkers.
Hey Coach, you want to hear some interesting data?
I do want to talk, Coach.
Go ahead, Craig. By the way, Craig, I got you. I got that last video. It's good. We're going to post it. Go ahead.
Let's go. It's interesting because I've been looking into this since you talked about the Mayflower Compact. I really educated myself. It's good you brought that data point up because it struck me. We're coming up on the 400th year.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, I saw that. Yep. November 11th, right?
And guess what November 11th is? Armistice Day. Yep. And you should check that. If you look at November 11th, that's a very powerful spiritual day. And sometimes it's a dark spiritual day, but it's a good spiritual day too. The other thing is, let's go back and look at our patterns in history. How long did Israel go down into Egypt? 430 years. But you got to remember, you got to subtract Joseph because he was sold into slavery. Okay. And there's a very interesting thing that was brought out in the Bible by Chuck Misler to me. It says that the Jews left Israel 430 years to the day on the Exodus. So does that play anything into this? I don't know, but it's an interesting thing to ponder.
It is an interesting date for sure. It is an interesting date. See, some of you are saying, well, Coach, are you praying? Are you speaking rebellion against the government? No, I'm speaking obedience to the church. Come on! Yeah.
You know, there's an urgency, I believe, in our country, or there should be an urgency. Are you hoping the United States will return to its constitutional foundations? If so, how long have you been hoping for this to happen?
That's what
if
I wrote,
so,
Larry.
Who have you been counting on to bring about this transformation? How has it been working out so far? Don't you think it is time for you to step up to the plate and take a swing at bringing the restoration of our nation around? You do not have to do it alone. There are those already in the battle who would like to stand shoulder to shoulder with you in this effort. Now, this is a post I put on Facebook this morning early. And a lot of you have listened to me for years. Some of you probably think I'm an obnoxious SOB. That's fine.
Hurry up. Close it up, Larry. About out of time. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, close it up. I put a link in the chat. If you have found that I have had any propensity to stick to the truth and stay to the Bible and stay true to my principles, check out that link I put in the chat. Thank
Friends
you.
Of LibertyUnited.com. Friends of LibertyUnited.com. Thank you, Larry.
Yeah. Hey, listen, folks, I'm just telling you. Until we right the ship, until we put the king back on the throne, you can't put the king on the throne if you don't knock the government off of it. God bless you. Don't miss tomorrow with Mike Blake and Alicia Healy, Johnny Tuttle, Tom Condit. It'll be a great show. God bless you.